My name is Dr. Todd, and I talk to magicians. This is the Magician's Workshop. I have always loved magic, and on this show, we're going to interview magicians that perform, create, and teach magic. Magic is for everyone, and so is this show. Whether you're a pro, amateur, hobbyist, or just magic curious, there is always something more to discover about this amazing art form. But I know what you're thinking. Hey, Todd, why are you doing a podcast on magic? You're a dentist. Well, let me tell you my story, and maybe it will make sense. My fascination with magic started 30 years ago when my brother got his first magic set. Of course, I had to sneak it off of him when he wasn't paying attention, but I can still picture it vividly. The colorful props, the decks of cards, and the instructions that promise easy magic that anyone can do. I was hooked. Then one day, my mom brought home a video cassette called The Magic Video by Michael Marr. See, in the video, a magician literally jumps out of the TV and teaches a bored kid how to do tricks. Now, I was the definition of a bored kid. So when he taught actual magic tricks that I could do that didn't come from a set magic set, I was absolutely hooked. They were my first real impromptu magic tricks that I ever even saw. And the next day at recess, I was making pebbles transport through my arm and out of my opposite ear. I would also make salt shakers vanish through tables. And now, that was actually pretty cool when you're 6 years old. Fast forward to my teenage years, and I was recording every magic special that I could find. In the 90s, it was big primetime events like the World's Greatest Magic. There was David Copperfield, and Siegfried and Roy was huge at the time. Big spectacles of magic. So we had a VCR with a wired remote that would control the TV and pause it frame by frame. And at the time, a remote control for VCR that was actually had a cord to it that connected was the peak of technology. So I would painstakingly go frame by frame until I would see how the magic was done. I was so excited when I would see someone load a cup or palm in a coin. In fact, I still remember watching Paul Gertner's cups and balls routine over and over and over again till I could follow the entire routine in my memory. My parents even got me this little Rocky the Raccoon, which was a little spring raccoon that you could make it look like it was real just because I saw it in the show. Now, over time, it was a hobby that just kind of stayed in my periphery. I didn't really do anything past that, but I did find a love of acting. I acted from middle school through college and local theater. I even considered going to school for acting. In my senior superlatives, I was voted most likely to become famous. But as one does, instead of becoming a professional magician or actor, I ended up going to dental school instead. You see, my dad was a dentist, and I really admired him, so I spent a lot of time at the office. I grew up around the dental office. So when it came to go to school, I became a biology major. I took all the prerequisite courses. I took the dental admission test, and then I got in. So I decided, well, I'm just going to be a dentist instead. And that's when I kind of stopped acting, stopped doing magic tricks, just kind of left it by the wayside. But about 4 years after dental school, I met a dentist who was an absolute pro magician. He lived in Chicago, and we met at a conference for multiple practice offices. This guy was absolutely wild. We would go to dinner, and he would make a fork levitate and tell these stories that absolutely were not true. But he was entertaining as all get out. He would even perform a stage show with a full cast for charity every year. I mean, we're talking zebras appearing from empty cages. I thought, wow, this guy is using magic, and he's a dentist, and he's well known as the magic dentist, and people see him because of that. And I thought that was just the coolest thing. So, of course, I asked him, can you teach me how to do magic like you? He smiled and said, nah, it's easier to go online. So until then, I assumed that good magic could only be found in two places. The first were actual shops where you could buy big magic products and cards, and they would sit and show you the tricks and then you'd buy them. The other was finding an older magician who would then take you under their wings. Neither one of those things I was going to find where I lived in Southern Maryland. About an hour and 40 minutes south of DC, you're not going to find anything like that. So I honestly never even thought about looking online. I mean, at the time, there wasn't a lot of resources if you wanted to learn the really good stuff that magicians did. David Blaine was really popular for his street magic specials. So when I did go online to look, the first website I found was basically a street magic website. It was illusionist.com. At that time, they had DVDs about street magic, and I ordered some. On the DVDs, it taught a lot of the street magic things that David Blaine did and a lot of card magic. They also had playing cards, and some of these playing cards are still to this day the best playing cards that I own. So that's where I learned most of the basics about card magic, about being a street magician. The most significant jump for me was when I stumbled upon Penguin Magic's live weekly lectures. That was an absolute treasure trove of knowledge. The idea was that every week a working magician would sit down with the host, who at the time was the infinitely creative Dan Harland, and now it's the fantastic Eric Tate, and they would go over their material in details. 2, 3, 4 hours of detailed explanation of the tricks that they actually use, tricks that you could not find on YouTube. The production value of these videos was extremely high. To this day, I own about 170 of them. There's over 500, so no matter what type of magic you were looking for, you could actually just go through. If you liked mentalism, they had mentalism classes. If you liked big stage magic, they had stage magic classes. Just about every type of magic that you were looking for, you could find an actual pro that was teaching real magic that you could use and get paid for. So something happened to me once I started practicing what I was learning. I'd always had anxiety in social situations, but I did a good job of masking. But being around crowds or even being around patients in my early years of being a dentist, it actually caused me a lot of distress. There was a point where the thought of giving an injection to a patient actually caused my skin to crawl to where I thought, I might not even be able to do dentistry. Then once I started using magic and entertaining patients and working on stage presence, I found that I could escape into the character. I wasn't just Dr. Todd the dentist, I was Dr. Todd the magician who just happens to be able to rebuild your mouth. It helped me with my patient care because I became the real fun, super cool dentist that can make you laugh even though you were getting extractions. It even led me to becoming one of the most successful general dentists in my state. I mean, my practice actually had to turn people away sometimes because we were so busy. Not to mention another thing that happened is my dexterity got a lot better from all that magic practice. Who knew that playing with cards would actually make you a better surgeon? In fact, I got good enough that my anxiety about numbing patients went away because I was getting so good at it that I could numb them up without them even feeling it most of the time. So I was happy as a hobbyist, but anyone that knows me will tell you that I take everything to the extreme. One of the managers in my practice was also a manager for a band and specifically a guitar player who worked at a DC restaurant. So it happens that that restaurant was looking for a magician over the holidays. So I applied for the job and I got it. Not because I knew what I was doing, because my manager knew their manager and I just got the job. I had absolutely zero idea what to do. So I took a leather top hat, I put some LED string lights around it, and then I took a deck of cards, a chop cup, some sponge balls. I had a fire shooter that would attach to my wrist, which retrospectively was not the best idea for a restaurant full of crowded people. But I will tell you, nothing gets your attention like shooting a fireball 15 feet into the sky. Good thing they had high ceilings. But I did not know anything else about restaurant performing. But I had fun. I learned how to approach people. I learned how to look at people's faces and kind of read them as to whether I should approach or shouldn't approach. Another thing that helped me kind of read people when I got back to the dental office was learning those kind of facial expressions, knowing when somebody wants to see you, knowing when they don't want to see you, and then knowing how to work around that and basically match their energy. Over the years, and honestly way too many hobbies later, too many hobbies that we could even talk about on a podcast, this is what I've learned. Magic is not just for professionals. Magic is for everybody at every level of interest. It's an art that will always have something more to give. It has opened so many doors for me and given me peace at some of the hardest moments of my life. But best of all, magicians as a group, from pros to hobbyists, are some of the most open and wonderful people you will ever meet. And that's why I love interviewing and getting to know them. So follow me on this journey to talk with the people that perform, create, and teach magic. I'm Dr. Todd. This is the Magician's Workshop. Please follow this podcast. And remember, the real magic is you.